And this demon became my spirit guide. He became like my best friend. And I used to do witchcraft with him, and I used to call upon his name.
Julie Lopez, it's great to have you here on Charisma to share your story of how God has saved you and your family from five generations of witchcraft. And we're going to get into that story in just a moment. But I just want to encourage everybody listening that Julie is going to minister later on. She's going to be praying for you. And so put in the comments what it is that you are believing God for freedom and deliverance from. And we want to be able to pray with you. We're going to go back through these comments and to be able to pray with that. But Julie, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me here today. It's an honor for me to be able to share my story in your platform.
That's wonderful. So, Julie, I just want to basically, I'm going to ask you questions as you're telling the story, but tell me about these five generations of witchcraft that ran in your family and then how this broke. I know this is going to be a bit of a longer story, so I want to encourage everybody to make sure that you are paying attention because there's powerful things that she's going to share along the way here. But Julie, how did this all begin with your family?
So it began, as far as we know, it began with my great-grandmother. We are originally from South America, from Colombia. So even since I'm young, I remember just growing up in a house where my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my mom were doing witchcraft, were doing their rituals, their baths, the different things in the house for protection. I also remember since a really young age, I was really open to the spiritual realm. So without me knowing, without them telling me anything about, you know, there's demons or there's dark energy, it's because something that I realized that's super curious growing up is that my family knew, even though they were witches, that even at the time of accessing the spiritual realm of doing rituals, that they could be dark entities trying to enter at the time of maybe us doing rituals or meditations or things like that. So that's why even before doing these rituals, we will have to do cleansings to protect ourselves from these dark entities trying to infiltrate themselves at the time of us doing things. So I didn't know any of this. And since a really young age, I started to have encounters with demons. And my first encounter was at the age of, I think I was really young. I was like around 4. And I remember this demon enter my room. I was trying to sleep. I wasn't dreaming. I was literally awake, and this demon entered the room. And the first thing that I remember is that this demon started to speak in tongues. As he was singing and he was entering the room, he was speaking in tongues. And at that moment, I realized, like, this is evil because I could feel fear. As a young girl, I was in my bed shaking, sleeping next to my mother, and my mother couldn't realize. Like, it was like my spiritual senses were so activated that I could see things, I could hear things, I could feel things. And I remember this demon came next to me and he started to touch my feet. And by the time he was touching my feet, I could literally feel his hands. His hands were really hot, like boiling hot. And I remember from that moment, something was placed on my legs because I grew up having a lot of legs issues. I was doing sports, I was doing basketball, ballet, running. I was always quite active. And I remember at the age of 13, I had to quit because I had knees issues. And it wasn't after a few years later when I became a Christian that actually the Lord showed me that that was a curse that this demon was putting in my legs so I wouldn't be able to do what God was calling me to do, which is part of my ministry that now is also dancing. So the enemy always tries to bring the opposite of what the Lord has called you to do. For example, if you have been called to be a mother of nations or father of nations, the enemy is going to try to release an orphan spirit so you don't fulfill the mission that the Lord has placed in your life. So growing up throughout my whole life, I realized, like, wow, the enemy tried to bring the opposite. The enemy tried to counterfeit my gifts. The enemy tried to kill me at some point when I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. And yes, that's how.
Wow. So we're going to talk more about this, but I've got definitely some questions here. So you said that you know, your mother and your great grandmother and your grandmother, they were mixing potions or baths or things, and this was just kind of like a normal thing in your family. What were they hoping to do, and what was the results of those things?
So my great grandmother, she was actually a medium. So she would literally speak to dead people. People will go to her and she will communicate with their relatives, with the dead people. She will like my, because by the time I was born, she was already quite old. She was like 75 years, 80 years. So, but I didn't see her doing all of the dark witchcraft that she was doing. But my mom was able to see everything. So she tells me that my great-grandmother, she was a medium. She was also a shaman. So people will go to her for healing. People, even like we found out recently, that people will even go to her for exorcism. So there was something in my family. I don't know how she was doing that, but she would literally rebuke demons. So she could see the demons and she would rebuke the demons. But at the same time, she would be a medium and she would talk to these dead people. And she was basically the one that trained my mom, because by the time my mom was 9 years old, her mother died. So she raised my mom. And then when I was born, she took care of me for like years. But, you know, in the village, everyone would know my great-grandmother as, you know, as the healer, as the one that people will take their kids to her for like healing, something. So, that was part of my family. We never had, I don't remember any type of intentions. It's something that you grow up with, that, you know, you see your family doing, and it just becomes part of your DNA. Like, I never in my life, I told people I am a witch or we are doing rituals. So I used to go to school and I will tell my friends, hey, we are involving this. I'm being trained to be a witch. Never, because I just never felt the necessity of sharing those things. And it wasn't until I became a Christian, like I didn't share my story before 12 years. Like I have been a Christian for 14 years. And I only started to share this part of my story like around 2 years ago, because I just, after my dad died, I just felt like ashamed of my past. And I also thought that there wasn't any point of sharing this part of my story. But it wasn't until the Lord really put it in my heart to speak about darkness that I realized, wow, there's so many people binded. There's so many Christians doing witchcraft. There's the church is sleeping and there's not enough people talking about the spiritual darkness and how we as the body of Christ, we need to infiltrate. So I believe this is a topic that we need to speak about, because the body of Christ needs to be trained, needs to be prepared. And the body of Christ needs to be aware that there is a spiritual realm that we have to come against. And for that, we need to know the church doesn't fight. The church doesn't do a spiritual warfare because the church doesn't know how to. So I believe this is something that we really need to talk about.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier that the devil always brings the opposite of what God's promises are and God's plan is. And you mentioned that whenever that demon came into your room when you were 4 years old, that you said that it was speaking in tongues, but I'm assuming that was definitely a demonic tongues. Can you explain a little bit about this? Because I don't think I've ever heard about a demon speaking in tongues. And tell me about your understanding of that.
Yes. So that was my first experience of hearing demonic tongues. And I didn't realize that they were demonic tongues until I became Christian. But also me growing up, as we were doing rituals and witchcraft, we were also speaking in tongues. Like before we were doing the rituals, like I remember the last ritual that we did, before we entered into the spiritual realm, we were speaking in tongues. That's why for me, when I became a Christian, those were the demonic tongues. When I became a Christian, I struggled so much with accepting and speaking in tongues, because I used to compare my background with Christianity. And I could see like some things, like literally the enemy counterfeits everything. So that's why I didn't realize until one day I could hear Christian people speaking in tongues, and I started to judge, and I started to say like, Lord, these are demonic tongues. I don't believe in this. I don't want to speak in this, because of my background. Like we were speaking in demonic tongues. I could hear demons speaking in tongues. And that's when the Holy Spirit brought repentance to my heart. And he told me, the enemy doesn't create, the enemy copies everything. And that's when he told me, the tongues that you heard were the mud tongues, but there's something that are called angelic tongues or heavenly tongues. So I have to repent. I renounce the demonic tongues that I was speaking. And a few years later, I was baptized and the Lord, you know, came to me and I started to speak in tongues. And that's when I realized, like, wow, there's so many people in church that are actually afraid of the things that the Lord has given to us. And that's when I realized the enemy doesn't create. He's not going to just create tongues. He's not going to create the gifts. He copies, he counterfeits. He steals everything that's been given to us as children of God. And that's when I kind of let the Holy Spirit reconciliate myself to the gifts of the Spirit, because also, like, I realized, like, you know, maybe I cannot operate in my gifts. Maybe my gifts, the fact that I could read people's mind, the fact that I could see the future, the fact that, you know, I could see word of knowledge for people, maybe those things, the enemy gave them to me. And that's when I also have to realize that, wow, no, these gifts are for now. The Lord has given us gifts to the church, to the body of Christ for now. And these are our weapons that we use against the enemy. And that's when also when I started to go through that process of setting, of deliverance, of setting myself free from covenants, from blood covenants, so to be able to operate in a level of purity in the things that God called me.
Wow. So you said that you remember the last spell or the last ceremony that you did. What happened in that? And then what was the purpose of that? And then tell me about this change that happened. Tell me about meeting the Lord.
So after a few years that we were in Colombia, I was really young, we moved to Spain. But in Spain, my mom used to have a lot of friends that were witches. And we started first, I remember I started to be trained, but a witch that was moving in white witchcraft. So she told me, it was kind of like New Age. She told me everything about meditation, the power of your words. I learned how to read candles, how to attract good things. I learned the power of my words and the power of dreams. And then when we moved to a different city, we lost contact with her. But now my mom became friends with a witch that was moving in black witchcraft. And let me tell you something, it doesn't matter if it's white witchcraft. Apparently the white magic was the one that we were doing, basically, and it doesn't hurt people, it doesn't harm anyone. But then we moved to the black magic, and the black magic is control, manipulation, but every type of witchcraft is wrong. It doesn't matter if your intentions are good. Every type of witchcraft is wrong because the spirit that is guiding the experience is not the Holy Spirit. Our familiar spirits are demons. So this black witch started to train me now. She started to teach me about crystals, about tarot cards, tobacco reading, about basically cursing people that were doing wrong things to us. But the first time that she saw me, she told my mom, your daughter has a gift. And then we did a ritual and they consecrated me to a principality. It's basically one of the three Venezuelan powers. And this demon became my spirit guide. He became like my best friend. And I used to do witchcraft with him. And I used to call upon his name. I used to hear him, see him, feeling, having dreams with him, everything. But the last ritual that we had in my house, we were basically trying to connect with my spirit guide, and we were trying to ask him questions about our future. So there was a bunch of witches there. There was my mom was there, the witch that was training me, and other witches there. And I remember it was around how many of us? There was around like seven of us, and all of us started to speak in tongues and all of that. So the main witch, the one that was training me, she was a witch of high rank. She started to get possessed. And I remember her body changed, her face changed, her voice changed. And she started to speak to us. So she looked at my mom and she tells my mom in a really evil voice. She tells my mom, this demon tells my mom, someone in your family is going to die in 1 week. And this demon keep asking my mom, do you want to know who it is? Do you want to know who it is? My mom starts to cry. And I look at my mom and I'm like telling her, like, let's close this because it looks like a demon infiltrated the meeting. So remember, we were aware that even our forces could come into the meeting. So that's why you have to do the circles of salt for protection, and you have to do some bath or something before to kind of like protect. But at that point, we realized there was a demon or someone that just entered and they're releasing this war. So we closed the session. And eventually, at this point, I was living with this witch. So I left the house. I went with her. And 1 week later, on the 28th of September, 2008, my mom calls this witch at around 5, 6 in the morning. And she tells this witch, you have to bring Julie really quick to the house, like now. So we pack our things and we went to the house. And I could see this witch face, like she was smiling the whole time. So I was thinking, like, nothing happened. Everything is fine. But as soon as we arrived to my house, my mom was crying. She was outside with my youngest brother and she was crying. So I ran inside of the house. And as soon as I entered the house, I felt this heavy atmosphere. I could feel this darkness, this cloud. I just don't even know how to describe it. And I felt like I was literally just moving inside of the house, like in the spirit, like removing like webs, like a spider webs. Something so heavy. And I went to my father's room, to my parents' room. I saw the light on, but I couldn't see my dad. So I ran outside and I thought my father left us. Maybe he's going to divorce my mom. He abandoned us and I couldn't understand. Then I felt like going to the storage that we have next to the house. And I saw the door. It was a little bit open. And when I pushed the door, I saw my dad. He committed suicide. He hung himself. And I saw him there, and eventually, when I saw him there, I couldn't speak. I went back, and I started to cry. Then my other brother came. He was around 11 by that point. He saw my dad too, and his reaction was just anger. He started to scream. He started to just be, like, super angry. Then the police came, the psychologist came, the psychiatrists came. They found a letter that my dad left. They found a little bottle of alcohol next to his body. And then they just gave me like a lot of pills because I was losing my mind. I remember we lasted in that house for 5-6 days because the atmosphere was so heavy. My mom tells me that they found me in the same place when my dad tried to commit suicide. I was hung. I was literally dying and they had to pull my body down. And I could literally see my father passing by. Eventually they were familiar spirits. I could see demons. I was dreaming of blood, nightmares, everything, until my mom realized we have to leave this house. Like, we are being tormented. These demons are trying to come against us. With a ritual that we did, we opened a portal in the house. We allowed this demon to come and release death upon our house. Now, if we were Christians by that point and someone came to release death, we know that we can come against those things and that we can break those things. But by that point, we didn't know. So we left that house after 1 week. And I remember my mom had a friend that she was a witch here in Colombia. And this witch called my mom and told my mom, she said, last night I saw in the spirit, your husband, he was asking for help. I saw some demons tormenting him. So she tried to astral project to our house, but she said that when she tried to do it, she saw a black cloth on our house. And she said, someone of her rank took over your house and I couldn't enter to see what was going on. So by that point, my mom starts to cry and tells her, like, you know, my husband committed suicide. And this witch tells my mom, the witch that was training Yuli, she is a witch of high rank and, you know, all of your family are next. All of you are going to die if you don't break the covenants with her, if you don't break what you are doing with her. So my mom, straight away, we moved out of that house and she literally stopped talking to this witch. And but then, you know, my spirit guide by that point now started to torment my mom. So my mom now started to have thoughts of commit suicide, just kill all of your children. And I remember my mom tells me one day that we were driving. She was driving and she was about to jump out of a cliff with the car because she could hear this demon telling her, just kill yourself. Just kill your children. There's nothing to lose. Just do it. And at the time that she was about to do it, she stops and she's like, I cannot do it. And now that's when she realized, you know, witchcraft killed my husband and destroyed my family. She repented for witchcraft and she opened the Bible and she started to read Psalms 91 and Psalms 23 to the point that every night for 1 month, we will speak those Bible verses until we learn it. But then after 1 month, I left my mom. I was blaming her. I was broken. I was depressed. I had anxiety. I was an alcoholic by that point. I was trying to commit suicide. I was only 17 by that point.
Wow.
And I just left my mom. And throughout that year that I was living with my ex, I was just completely broken. Like every possible, I didn't see anything. I didn't see a purpose. I didn't see a plan, anything. I went through an abortion throughout that process too. So I was like body, soul, mind, spirit, everything. I was completely broken. Until one day I found Jesus and he changed my life.
Wow. We're going to talk about how Jesus changed your life in just a moment. But you said so much in those last few minutes that I have questions about. So you were talking about black magic and white magic, and there's a difference, but it's all demonic. Can you just elaborate on that just a little bit? And then I want to talk about this whole spirit guide thing, because I've heard about this, but it always seems like something out of fantasy. But you had a friendship with this spirit guide. Let's talk about the white magic and black magic first, though.
Yeah, so the white magic, which is thing that is used for like selfless purposes. So you use it apparently for healing, for blessings, for prayers. But what I was saying before is that, you know, any type of magic doesn't matter if you're not harming anyone is wrong. And now the black magic was the one that is used now to manipulate people's feelings, to manipulate people's thoughts. This is like when you are in love with someone and you want that person to love you, you put like this type of spell on them. So it's kind of like you're manipulating their feelings. And the black magic is also used to kill, to destroy, to bring infirmities, to bring poverty, to bring curses. And now in the black magic, now you use blood of animals, you use humans, you use blood candles, plants, stones. There's different type of magic. So you have green magic, you have red magic, purple magic. So depend of the color, people use different type of candles or different types of plants. But every type of magic is wrong. Now, I believe that what we have now is a new age. For me, the new age is quite similar to the white magic that we used to practice. Because what has happened now that I realize in society is that they changed the name of the witchcraft to make it more nice, to make it more modern. So the new age is basically that when you are like manifesting, when you are declaring, when you are like doing all of those things to bring positive things. All of that stuff is witchcraft. All of that stuff is absolutely wrong. And it doesn't matter what color or how many times they change their name, is going to be still evil because the Holy Spirit is not guiding the experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. So talking about guiding, this spirit guide that you had, I need to hear more about this because this is like, it's been fantasized about in movies and in cartoons and things. It's like, oh, this spirit guide, it's this nice thing that's helping me. But it's, and then now I guess a common thing that people are talking about is, oh, that's my spirit animal. There's some weird things that are out there. Can you help us understand this? And then of course we're going to talk about how you met Jesus. So let's talk about the spirit guide and the spirit animal thing.
You know, this even now people say, oh, my ancestors are guiding me. The spirit of my great-grandmother is now here and is guiding me. And, you know, in witchcraft, every person has some sort of like a spirit guide or a spirit animal or an ancestor or something that they believe that they are there to help you, to bring information. So when we were doing rituals, we were accessing the spiritual realm through these spirits, through these demons that were bringing information to us. Now, what I realized too when I became a Christian is that you can access the spiritual realm through a legal way or through an illegal way. Through the legal way, the Bible says is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John that Jesus said that anyone who enters the door, like this place through the window, is a thief and robber. But those that enter through the gate, those hear the voice of God. Those are the sheep. Now, this is when I realized that you can access the spiritual realm through these spirit guides, through witchcraft, through Satanism, through voodoo, through meditation, through Buddhism. So you have a lot of spiritual things now in the world that give you access to the spiritual realm. But those things are illegal. Those things are counterfeit. That is a lie. But Jesus said he is the way. He is the life, right? He is the doorway. So he is the only way that we can access. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now becomes our friend. He becomes our best friend. He becomes our guide. He is the one that counsels us. He is the one that takes us to Jesus and Jesus takes us to the Father. Now, if you realize now in the spiritual realm, in darkness, in witchcraft, now there's a spirit guide. That's why I had a spirit guide. This spirit guide was taking me to the spiritual realm. He was guiding me. He was leading me until at one point now, He wanted to kill me because I tried to commit suicide so many times. I was cutting myself. And without me realizing, I realized that my blood was giving him more power and more authority over my life. But now if you realize Jesus died for us and he literally left his blood on the cross for us. So his blood, we have been redeemed through his blood. So there's a lot of counterfeits and kind of similarities. And these people now that say, I have a spirit guide, I have a spirit animal. They believe that these demons, these spirits are guiding them through this experience and are protecting them. But the enemy doesn't give you anything for free. And now you see Jesus, he gave us salvation for free. So the enemy is not going to give you anything for free. He's going to make you think that you have the power, because that's what we thought, that we had the power. He lies to you by making you think that you have the power. And then when you're not giving him what he wants, now he's going to come against you. Now you have to, you know, we used to know when these spirit guys were angry. And now we have to give them food. We have to give them food offerings and liquid offerings and money offerings to try to, to make them calm so they wouldn't get angry with us. So it's just amazing to see how a lot of people in the occultism, in witchcraft, in darkness, in New Age, people that are spiritual, know these principles, but now the church doesn't know. And let me tell you something. Hollywood and these movies that you are saying about witchcraft and they have spirit guides, they know more about the spiritual realm than so many Christians. They're infiltrating witchcraft in cartoons for our children to be initiated from a young age. And the Church of Jesus Christ is more concerned about division, is more concerned about exposing this person, without realizing that we are literally bringing division against the body of Christ. The enemy doesn't need to send all of his demons against us because we are doing the work for him. So it's just crazy to see how there's so much knowledge all of these people knows, and then we have the body of Christ and prepare, not ready for the battle and just fighting unnecessary fights.
Let's talk about your understanding of this now, and you're starting to preach there, and I was following along with you there, but how did you meet Jesus and how did Jesus really change your life? But then I want to dig into what do we as the church need to do to counteract or to counter this this demonic attack that is so blatant in our society?
So after that year, when I left my mom and I went to live alone, as I said, I was completely broken. I was honestly, I don't even know why the Lord didn't allow me to die, because I tried to commit suicide so many times. I tried to jump out of windows. I tried to do everything possible. I didn't want to leave. And in one occasion, I went to visit my mom. Someone took us to a church, but they were saying prophecies to people. So my mom thought that those things were witchcraft. So I remember her being so angry, screaming in the church, "You're moving in witchcraft." This is because she knew what witchcraft was. So we left the church. But I remember in my heart, I went to my city. And I remember in my heart, I had a seed was planted. And I couldn't stop thinking about, like, maybe you need to go to a church. Maybe you need to, like, find, like, someone. And, you know, I used to see my great-grandmother going to the Catholic church and doing witchcraft with the saints. So in my mind, I knew I don't want to go to a Catholic church, because I knew that some of the saints that they use, behind there is a demon and a principality moving. So when people are praying to them, it's actually not a saint. It's actually not anyone holy. It's actually a demon that they are praying to. And so I started to ask my friends, and someone gave me the number of a church. So I called and I got the address. And I went to the church. It was in the next city. It was like around like a 30-minute drive. So I went by bus that day. And I remember I was excited. Like, something in my heart was like, I haven't felt this excitement for so long. And as soon as I entered into that church and I put my foot in that church, the presence of God fell on me and I couldn't stop crying. And I, for the first time in my life, I felt joy. I felt freedom. I felt something that I have never felt before. Like, remember, I was broken. Like, I did an abortion. I did a sacrifice. My dad died. I saw my dad dying. Like, all of these things that I was carrying, it was like suddenly those things were put behind and I could feel the presence of God. And the apostle of the house came. He saw me and he hugged me and he told me, "Welcome home." And I was just crying and shaking by the presence of God. And a few years later, I asked God, like, "Why did you tell me welcome home if I'd never been in your house before? And why you didn't allow me to die?" And the Holy Spirit started to give me the visions of when I was young, my aunt used to take me to church. And I used to go to Sunday school when I was young. And I could have these flashes in my mind of going to school and people falling by the presence of God and me reading the Bible. And that's when the Lord told me, "Your aunt consecrated you when you were young. So your great-grandmother was consecrating you. But at the same time, your aunt consecrating you." And there was a fight. I could feel growing up, the darkness was coming for me. But at the same time, I had encounters where angels were coming to protect me. And I could see, like, this fight in the spirit. And it wasn't until that point that I realized, wow, like, the Lord has been protecting me this whole time. And that's when I gave my life to Christ. I felt like for 10 years, the Lord put me in this bubble. And because I was so passionate about the spiritual realm. And as soon as I became a Christian, I told God, "I'm going to come against the enemy. I'm going to study demonology." And the Holy Spirit told me, "Close that book. You are going to focus first in getting to know me, in intimacy with me, in knowing about me." So for 10 years, my whole life was learning about the Holy Spirit, learning about intimacy, learning about the power of forgiveness, deliverance, and all of this process. And then after that, one night, around 4 years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, "Get ready for the battle." And I didn't understand. And in that moment, that's when I started to share my testimony, when the Lord started to give me more revelation about the spiritual realm, the counterfeit and principalities and the spiritual warfare. And I myself had to go through war to be able to know how to fight. And here we are.
Yeah. So that's powerful. I mean, just how you were welcomed home, even though you didn't realize that you had been to God's house before. And that even from a young age that you were being preserved, that there was a battle over your life. You know, now that you have been, these 10 years or so has, you know, where you closed the book on demons and everything, but now God is using you in ways to help bring deliverance. And God's using your prophetic gifting as well. Tell me about what you're doing now and how you're seeing people being freed and blessed by what you're by what you're doing. And anybody in the comments, write in there what you are believing freedom for.
So the Holy Spirit throughout the last few years have been using me in deliverance and spiritual warfare. But something that I realized that a lot of people think about at the time of a spiritual warfare or deliverance, just a lot of people think, you know, just pray for me and I'm going to be set free. You just do this and I'm not doing anything. But I'm teaching people that, hey, like, you also have to be accountable. You also need to fight for your own deliverance. But one of the things that I teach people is, in heaven, there is a principle law. There is a law in heaven. And that law is about forgiveness. You want to engage into spiritual warfare and you want to be set free and you want to move in deliverance, start by forgiving. Recently, let me tell you this quick testimony. Recently, I have a friend that her father had an encounter with an angel. He literally saw an angel sitting next to him, and this angel was speaking to him for 2 hours. And everything that this angel was telling him was about forgiveness and how the body of Christ has forgotten about the importance of forgiveness and about the importance of loving and blessing other people. So when he told me and he was telling me the story, I started to cry, because it's like, we literally are teaching people how to be set free and how to cast out demons, but we are not teaching people how to forgive. And that's a spiritual principle that Jesus said, if you don't forgive, my Father who is in heaven won't forgive you. That's huge right there. So we have a bunch of people casting out demons and doing a spiritual warfare without understanding one of the first spiritual principles, which is forgiveness and forgiving other people and forgive those that have hurt you, those that have abused you. Like, you want to step into another level of dimension in the spirit, because let me tell you something. In the spirit, you have a lot of dimensions. You don't have just heaven and hell and earth. There are a lot of dimensions in the spirit, different type of anointings that allow you to go to this type of dimensions. But only through forgiveness and through Jesus Christ is that you're going to be accessed the full package that the Lord has for you in your life. So what am I doing now? I'm teaching people. Yes, I'm teaching people about deliverance, but I'm also teaching people about the fruits of the Spirit. Because we see so many people teaching about the gifts, teaching about how you prophesy, how you cast out demons, how you speak in tongues. But we are not teaching people about the fruits of the Spirit and about the character of Jesus Christ. And the fruits and the gifts go together. They complement each other. And this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm kind of like teaching people and whatever the Holy Spirit leads me in this season.
That's awesome. The fruits and the gifts go together, but they're not often taught that way. What are some things that you are teaching about that specifically that God has shared a revelation with you that you're now teaching with others? Let's go deeper into this, because I think there's something really special here.
One of the things that I have realized about the gifts of the Spirit is that, like, if you are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but you don't have love, you are operating in witchcraft. This is when I realized too, like, when we were operating in, you know, we used to see things for the future and we used to see all of these things, but we didn't have love. That's witchcraft. Everything that you are doing, not guided by the Holy Spirit and not moving on that thing out of love, you're literally moving in witchcraft. So now I started to realize that the gifts of the Spirit, the 10 gifts of the Spirit and the 10 of the Spirit, they come together. So how they come together, they complement each other. For example, if you are a person that you move in the gift of word of knowledge, and the word of knowledge is that one where you actually see something specific for a person, for about a situation, for maybe a country, like something specific that is happening or something that has already happened. But now, what is the fruit of the Spirit that is going to complement the word of knowledge? Is going to be humility, the fruit of the Spirit of humility. Why? Because that fruit is going to balance the gift Why? Because if you are operating in this world of knowledge, what is going to happen is that you can grow in proud. You can become proud. You can grow in pride. That's why it's going to puff you up. If you have the word of knowledge, if you are like prophesying, that's going to puff you up. But the fruit of the spirit of humility is going to make you meek, is going to make you humble, is going to make you realize that this is not coming from you. This is like a weapon that the Holy Spirit has given you so you can advance God's kingdom. Now, another gift that we have is a healing. We have the gift of healing. So how are you going to balance that gift? What fruit is going to balance that is going to be kindness? Because if you see in the Bible, Jesus was moved by kindness. But now if you are operating in this gift because you want other people to see you, because you want other people just to see how amazing you are at healing and how many people are moving and are coming to you because you are healing or you are casting out demons, you're also growing in another level of pride. That's why when you have kindness, now you're realizing that you're operating in love. So each one of the gifts of the Spirit are linked to a fruit of the Spirit. And that is what is going to help us to operate in a level of humility that, for example, the witches or other people don't know. And this is what I see that is happening right now. And this is like part of a prophecy that the Lord gave me for 2024, is that the Lord was exposing people and pastors and prophets because he cares more about their soul than their ministry, because their character is not aligning to that anointing that they carry. So that's why like it's so dangerous for us to, you know, when we are training people and equipping people, but actually we are also not teaching them the fruits of the Spirit, and we are not teaching them about humility, and we are not teaching them about, like, even if you are the most accurate prophet in the world, but you need to operate from a level of humility. Because when you are, let me tell you something, Satan was cast out of heaven because of pride. Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of pride. Not sexual immorality, pride. And that's exactly what the enemy uses against this man or these men or women of God, is pride. So what is going to counterattack that pride is going to be meekness, and it's going to be humility, and it's going to be love. So that's why for me, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit walk together, and they are so important, and they should be taught together so people can operate in these things in a level of purity, in a level of holiness, realizing that, you know, it's not about us. It's not how amazing I am at prophesying. It's not how amazing I am at casting demons out. It's the grace of Jesus Christ in me that is allowing me to operate in this way. And all the glory goes to him. It doesn't come to me. So.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. You know, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray for everybody that's been watching here. But before we get into that, you made mention earlier of your family going to a Catholic church, and you didn't want to go to a Catholic church because you knew that there were demons behind some of these saints. Could you explain that and really how witchcraft has gotten into the church as a whole? Because that's something that that we had talked about earlier. But, you know, there's a danger that we've allowed into the church because we're just unaware. Or we've let things in trying to be inclusive and trying to bring people to Jesus, but sometimes we're just not protecting the gate as well. So help us understand a little bit about that syncretism, that witchcraft coming into the church.
Wow, this is a topic that really burns inside of me because I have seen it so much how. And this is why I say the Church of Jesus Christ is sleeping. The Church of Jesus, some churches don't know spiritual warfare. They don't know what is the enemy doing. So coming back to the Catholic part of it, I know there's a lot of people that get offended by this, but I don't want to offend anyone. I'm talking from my own experience, and I'm talking from teachings that I have also done and studies about, like, Catholicism, the saint, and what moves behind every saint, which is basically principalities, and people can go, you know, right there and start doing studies and all of these things. That's why the Bible is so clear about like not worshiping idols or not worshiping a status or anything that you have built a faith or anything like that, because that's idolatry. And you know, idolatry, what idolatry does, idolatry brings blindness and deafness. So you become spiritually blind and you become spiritually deaf. And now, not only through Catholicism, but even right now in churches, we see so many people and prophets and pastors operating in witchcraft. They have become God. And what I see right now is that so many people are carrying idolatry in their hearts. They are idolizing these men of these women of God. And that's also witchcraft. Because witchcraft is not just you cursing people. Witchcraft is not just you, you know, making some potions. No, witchcraft is control and manipulation. So this is why I was saying before, the moment that we allow pride in our hearts, we are opening portal for a spirit of witchcraft to enter, for a spirit of Jezebel to enter. Now you have pride, so now those demons have legal right to enter and start to operate through witchcraft in your church. Now the church becomes a place of control, the church becomes a place of manipulation, and the church now becomes a place where the gifts are literally operating more than the holiness and the presence of God. You know, but people are still walking in sexual immorality. That's fine, but come and prophesy. Oh, but people are still walking in drug addiction. Hey, that's fine. Cast out demons. And we actually haven't literally tell people there is a level of holiness that we have to bring back to our churches. It's not that we are not allowing people to come and we are becoming inclusive people, but we have to carry a level of holiness, because the Bible says that only those that are holy will see the face of God. Only those that are becoming like that will see his face. So why are we teaching people that it's okay to still operate in witchcraft and come and prophesy? Why are prophets and pastors and evangelists operating themselves in that within the church? They are literally being the example, and they are being the stone on the way of these people. So the witchcraft right now, yes, is in the church. We think that witches and warlocks and satanists are trying to infiltrate the church, which, let me tell you, they are. But there are a lot of anointed men and women of God that are also operating in witchcraft. And we think that because they carry a big following or because they move in the gifts of the Spirit, the Lord is with them. But let me tell you something, a lot of them, the Lord is not with them, but the Lord respects their office and the Lord respects the gifts that those people carry. But that's where we need to see the fruits of the Spirit. And in this season, I'm telling you, we need to have so much discernment, so much discernment. You need to learn to hear the voice of God by yourself. Yes, if you have a pastor, if you have a prophet, great. But you need to learn yourself to hear the voice of God, because there's so many wolves right now dressing sheep clothing, deceiving the church. And that's why we have to be careful. Witchcraft is here. And let me tell you something more that I was going to say. Now that the elections are coming in the USA, what do you think that witches are doing? September and October are the months of more spiritual activity and witchcraft being done in the USA. So now, what does the body of Christ have to do? What all of us supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be fasting for the next elections. We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be doing a spiritual work for prayers. We're supposed to be consecrations and not wait for one day before the elections to come into prayer and to call alive to pray for the elections a few days before. This is what I see. So let me tell you that, like, witches right now are doing witchcraft for the elections because they also have an agenda. They don't wait until the elections. They are doing it right now. That's why we, as the body of Christ, we have to open our eyes. We have to awake. We have to be trained. We have to be equipped. But let me tell you, one of the biggest spiritual weapons that the body of Christ has that darkness don't have is love. That's one of the biggest ones. if we carry love, they cannot do anything against love, because God is love. Jesus Christ is love. So if we carry love and we are entering into spiritual warfare, the battle is ours.
Amen. Amen. If we carry love, the battle is ours in spiritual warfare. You know, Julie, I don't want to miss this opportunity to have you pray for the people that are watching. I really appreciate everything that you have shared, from your testimony to helping us to kind of identify how witchcraft is infiltrating into the church. What do we do about that? Those things? How do we call that out? But how do we protect ourselves? Because it's easy to say that it is infiltrating, but we need to do something about it too. Would you pray, in addition to however the Lord leads you, that we would be able to be on our defense, but not just be on our defense with this stuff, but to actually take offensive stance and actually take ground, as opposed to just trying to defend what's there already?
Yeah, and I believe one of the strategies that the Lord has given the church for this season is deliverance. Is deliverance, is repentance, is forgiveness. That is what is going to cleanse the bride of Jesus Christ to be able to fight properly. But this is why I was saying before, why is the church engaging into all of this division? And let me expose this person, and let me expose this. They are not operating in love. So first of all, repentance, deliverance, forgiveness, cleansing ourselves first. Because let me tell you something, everything starts from us. Deliverance has to start in us. We want deliverance for our nation. Then let deliverance start in you. We want revival for our nation. Let then revival start in you. Everything has to start in us, in our secret place, if we want to be able to now spread all of that. Now, I want to pray. I want to pray for those that have been struggling in this season with hearing the voice of God, but those that have been also fighting, that are Christians, that have been doing witchcraft consciously or subconsciously. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just place all of these people in your hands right now. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you remove every veil that is blinding your people right now? Father, whether they maybe they have watched things that they shouldn't have watched. Maybe they have heard things that they shouldn't. But Father, I just declare the blood of Jesus upon their eyes and the blood of Jesus upon their ears. And Father, we just break every veil right now that have been stopping them from seeing the truth in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I declare right now that their eyes of their understanding are going to be open in this moment. Father, I bind every spirit of oppression, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of divination in their lives, every spirit of infirmity, we cast it out right now in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you, because in this system, we just declare, Father, that those bonds, Father, are going to rise up as an army. Those that have felt dead spiritually, those that have been dead physically, we just prophesy that the wind of the Holy Spirit is coming to them right now, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, and that those people are going to resurrect in this season in the name of Jesus. Father, let their dreams be resurrected. Let their visions be resurrected. And Father, I just pray for the end time army to raise up in this season, for the remnant, Father, to raise up in this season, in Jesus' mighty name. We plead the blood of Jesus in the four corners of the church of Jesus Christ, in the corners of our houses. And we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Father, thank you for that dome of protection. And Father, will you even release your angels of war in this season that are coming to help to fight this battle? But Father, thank you, because we know that we are not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from a place of victory. So we just declare that we have the victory right now in Christ Jesus. So Lord, thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you take control over these elections that are coming, that you are going to raise up, Father, men and women of God that are understanding, Father, in these spiritual matters. And Father, thank you for your protection and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Julie, thank you so much for sharing your story and ministering to us here today on Charisma.
Thank you so much, Yon, for having me. Until next time.